WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The Southern California wildfires are not only some of the most destructive in state history, they've turned deadly. At least five lives now reported lost. Officials say many people are hurt. This man in Pasadena lost everything.
Well, I was sitting in the car by myself, and tears just came over my face. The entire history is in the house.
Nearly 2,000 homes, businesses, and other buildings have been destroyed. 130,000 people are under evacuation orders, some in the most expensive and exclusive neighborhoods in the country. CBS News Los Angeles, Lori Perez, is in Pacific Palisades.
There are new eruptions lighting up the sky. We see houses burned, but we're seeing entire apartment buildings, condo buildings burn. These are new houses. These are the few that remained, and now they're being taken. Watching these flames erupt, I mean, it's so ferocious. If you haven't been close to a fire like this, I don't think you can adequately understand how intense it is, how hot it is.
Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass.
If you receive an evacuation order, please leave immediately. If you receive a warning, get ready. Protect yourself and protect each other. And don't divert firefighters from our strategy.
Schools and government offices from Texas to Georgia are shutting down ahead of freezing rain in the forecast there. CBS meteorologist David Parkinson.
Texas is going to be the main focus. You're going to be seeing snow in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area. Could be seeing 4 or 5 inches of snow there, potentially. To the south, you'll be seeing some ice.
A longshoreman strike averted, along with the potential economic fallout. The union has reached a tentative agreement with the U.S. Maritime Alliance for a 6-year contract. This is a day of national mourning for former President Jimmy Carter. In a few hours, his body will be moved for a last goodbye. Correspondent Jared Hill.
The public viewing ends at the Capitol this morning, when Carter's casket will be taken just a few miles away to the National Cathedral for a state funeral. President Biden will deliver one of the eulogies. Roughly 3,000 people are expected to attend the service for President Carter, a program he had part in planning before dying at the age of 100.
People in Richmond, Virginia are entering a fourth day with no potable water after a winter storm knocked out power to a treatment plant Monday. For local Tanya Martin, it's been a pain.
Water is a necessity. So, your life is upside down without water.
City officials say it'll be at least tomorrow before they can fix the problem. S&P futures up 9. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks roll over the Spurs.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 121-105 win over the Spurs last night, snapping a 3-game losing streak at home for Milwaukee. Giannis with his 432nd career double-double, surpassing the franchise record set by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Damian Lillard on the Bucks' best performance since beating the Thunder for the NBA Cup.
Everything starts with, you know, our focus. And I think, you know, we've just been more focused coming off some games that we feel like we should have won. Ultimately, like, what's going to give us a chance to win games, and what are we doing when we're at our best?
College hoops, Wisconsin hosts Minnesota, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. NFL, it's the Packers and the Eagles, Sunday at 3:30. Packers quarterbacks Jordan Love, an elbow injury. Malik Willis, his right thumb, limited in practice. I asked Love about losing Christian Watson to a torn ACL.
That's a huge loss. It's one of those ones that it sucks. You know, you hurt for Christian, especially at this time of the year.
That's Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The effect of the fires in Los Angeles have been devastating. The ultimate impact on the entertainment business remains to be seen, but two notable premieres were canceled due to the fires, including Universal's Wolfman, which was scheduled to have its premiere at the TCL Chinese Theater Tuesday night. Jennifer Lopez's Unstoppable premiere was also canceled Tuesday night. There is no word on whether or not the events will be rescheduled. Wolfman is set to hit theaters on Martin Luther King Day weekend. Matthew Perry has managed to stay in the news fairly often following his mysterious death in 2023. His friend's colleague Lisa Kudrow made news the other day when she appeared on The Drew Barrymore Show and told Barrymore that Perry gave her the famous Friends cookie jar from the set as a parting gift after the last episode. Kudrow added that Perry left a note in the cookie jar that she only recently discovered after his death. It is unclear why Kudrow checked the cookie jar after all these years. Maybe a serious case of the munchies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a little light snow developing by later this afternoon. Our high right around 25. More light snow tonight. Overall, we're looking at a dusting at best. Not going to be a lot of snow. 17 our low tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy 24 with more light snow on the way by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside right now, it's 12.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday will preview the nation's final farewell to former President Carter as his state funeral moves from the Capitol to the National Cathedral to Plains, Georgia.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Let's light it up, ladies and gentlemen. Happy hump day. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night in the state of Wisconsin. I am Pete Schwabba riding shotgun tonight, as always, and not always, but most of the time, Conrad, the K-Man, Convoy, as he is affectionately referred to by the morning show guys.
Yeah.
Have they come up with anything better?
Conroy, I heard once.
Conroy? How does that make any sense?
I don't know.
Conman is good, but it has like negative...
There was one time where they called me Brandon. Nowhere even close to my name at all.
I like that better than Conroy. What do you like?
You know, I would prefer my actual name.
Conrad.
Or just Con.
K-Rad, the Rad Man, Rad Krieg.
Rad Krieg. I haven't heard that one before.
All right. Well, there we go. Great to have you with us, folks. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba, broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Got a great show tonight. Hopefully a show that will make it seem like we are speeding into the end of the week, but also stopping to smell the roses and be very zen here. A lot of fun stuff coming up this weekend. Some good movies coming out. You got Packer playoff football. I think there's a Bucks game, if I'm not mistaken. Hey, we got a great guest, Conrad, for next Monday. Jordan Tresky. He wrote a book about the Bucks, and he is going to be on the show at 6:35 on Monday. Yeah. He and I connected, of all places, Blue Sky.
Oh, okay.
Are you on Blue Sky yet?
I am not.
You know what? The nice thing about Blue Sky is you don't have to say, do I call it this or this? It's still just Blue Sky.
Isn't it? So it looks exactly like Twitter, right?
It is.
Like old Twitter.
And you know what? It's like old Twitter. Like there's no, I have not encountered any hostility there yet. You know,
there's still time,
and I guess there are trolls every once in a while, but it's just people talking, and you know, it probably has a political slant that I just don't like the venom on social media, you know. So right now Blue Sky is great. I'm sure it will be it will attract some of that eventually, but right now I'm really digging it. Now it has like a fraction of the people that Twitter has. And I still use Twitter. I go there for news and updates and that kind of stuff. It's still probably the fastest place you can buy or get your news. But anyway, yeah, I connected with Jordan on Blue Sky, and he will be on the show Monday. So that will be exciting. I'm excited to talk about. You know, we had Ian O'Connor on. Did you get my message? We got to have him back on. Apparently, he wrote a book.
I couldn't find his book on Bart Starr.
Bart Starr. Okay. I looked for it too. I could swear. I got to check my email because he was a great guest. I'd love to have Ian back on the show because he wrote that book about Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Would love to get his take too on what he thinks Aaron Rodgers will do, if he'll hang it up or come back.
Today I saw a post that said the likely landing spot if he doesn't retire is the Raiders. And I think that's hilarious because
wow.
He would not go to the Raiders, I feel like.
Yeah, especially after they traded Davante Adams.
So that's the second thought I had was like, what is Davante just going to follow him back to the Raiders, which would be hilarious.
Yeah, who knows? That's interesting. But tonight we have two really funny guys on the show as guests at 6:35. Tim Cavanaugh will be here. Tim was made famous, more or less, in the stand-up world by Bob and Tom. He's a great comic and an even better guy. Love Tim. He's been on the show once before. He was in studio and sang his songs. He's going to be performing at Memories Ballroom in Port Washington. So we'll have him on the show tonight. He'll talk about that. But he'll be on over the stream. So we have a couple of songs I'd like to play when Tim is here. Very funny tunes. He writes musical parodies. He's also, when he just does straight stand-up, he's great. So he is just an absolute quintessential comedian and a really funny guy. So excited to have Tim here at 6:35. And then my pal Mike Siegel, host of the Travel Tales podcast and host of many cable TV shows that I'm sure you've seen when it comes to home repair and what you get for the money and movie break on TBS. Mike has been all over the place. He is going to talk about high school dances with me at 6:35. And just whatever else comes up. I've got questions. He lives in LA, and you know, I'm keeping everybody in my thoughts. I have so many friends and family in the Los Angeles area, and what I saw last night just was so, and you know, it's weird, Conrad. I got home and I was talking to my daughter a little bit, and then I looked at my phone after like an hour, and it was like an apocalypse was happening.
Yeah.
Those fires were awful, and people, and one of the guests we had on the show, Sean Hannish, who made the Brewers documentary, I saw his post on Facebook. He had to evacuate his house and take his family with him. I think Sean lived in the Pasadena area where it was pretty bad too, but Pacific Palisades is just awful. And it really breaks my heart because it's such a beautiful area. We used to take our kids, Will Rogers Park is right there in Pacific Palisades, pretty close to the ocean, a great park for families and picnicking and stuff like that. It's just, by all accounts, I've been told by friends who live there that Pacific Palisades is like gone. So just heartbreaking stuff. Mike does not live in that area. He moved to Long Beach recently, but he did live, I think, in Santa Monica before Long Beach. So we'll get Mike's take on maybe what's happening out in LA as well. So a fun show. And, you know, I don't know what made me think of this, but something we were talking about last night, Conrad, and I'll give you a gold star or I'll give you $5. No, a sawbuck. I'll give you $10. If you can remember why I got off on a high school dance, I was thinking about high school dances and the awkwardness of the slow dance.
Yeah.
For high school kids. That is such a weird dynamic. And I remember, like, you know, sometimes you get caught in a hostage situation where it's a really long song and you're like, do I talk? Do I freak this person out completely and put my head on their shoulder? Like, what's the etiquette? So with that said, that leads us, ladies and gentlemen, to our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is the best song to slow dance to? This could be something from your actual past, a song you really danced to with someone, maybe your crush, your boyfriend or girlfriend. But what is the best song to slow dance to? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. This could be a fun trip down memory lane. How often did you have dances when you were in high school?
We had two. We had the homecoming dance and then the prom.
Oh, that's it?
Yep.
Wow, okay. Growing up in Marinette, we had a dance every weekend.
What?
It was
really?
There was the Menominee Michigan High School, Marinette High School, and I went to the Catholic High School, Marinette Catholic Central at the time. Now it's St. Thomas Aquinas. But Catholic Central, our gymnasium, was the host of the weekly dance. And it was $2 to get in the mid-80s. And, you know, it was great. They dimmed the lights and people would make laps around the gym. There were people there from three different high schools, usually maybe a couple hundred kids. Really fun stuff. And part of great memories for me in high school. And I want to say, Here's my favorite slow song. Ooh, that didn't sound good. That could maybe happen during a slow dance, but we won't go there. My favorite song to slow dance to, I want to say, I would think was probably True by Spandau Ballet. Just a great song, and it has become part of like the soundtrack of my high school years. I've seen it in movies. That PM Dawn song we use, In and Out of Break, sometimes is a sample of that. They took part of Spandau Ballet's True. And just a great song. Anything by Journey. There's so many great songs that we dance to. And you know what? If you want to share a fast song, like something that got you going at a high school dance that you thought was great and you just had to dance to it, share that too. Whatever you want. But the actual question is, what is the best song to slow dance to? I say Spandau Ballet's True. Great memories. Dancing with many high school crushes who I'm sure have tried their best to put me out of their head. What about you, K-Man? What do you...
Cotton Eye Joe.
Slow dance, really. That's a great tune.
No, you said, honestly, I don't even... I can't really think of... I didn't go to dances, really.
Yeah. Two a year, that's rough. You're not really...
I went to one, and the girl that I was with, we didn't slow dance. I mean, she was kind of embarrassed, but I was kind of embarrassed to go out there, too. So we didn't do it.
You have those people, too, that, like, left that, you know, it was Catholic school, and they were pretty lenient, you know. But every once in a while, you'd get someone who would come out and go, all right, you guys, create a little distance, you know. And that happened, but rarely, I would say. It wasn't like on TV, at least not at our dances, where you had those stern principals walking around. But I have great memories of high school dances. I think they were a blast. So share your memories, however you want to participate in the conversation. Please do. Reach us at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. Very easy to use. Download the Civic Media app. And there's a little icon right next to the station. Whatever station you're listening on, just click the icon and text away. You can also watch us on the stream here at Facebook. Am I getting this right, Conrad? Facebook, YouTube, WGBW, WISS, Civic Media website. I think
I can help
Spotify.
Yeah. So podcast.
Friendster.
Okay.
MySpace and NBC.
Okay.
Did I get that right?
Wow, we got to NBC. Okay, cool.
Yeah, you know, it's a process. But just great to have you with us tonight. So be part of the show. It's always more fun. I got to tell you, this Green and Gold movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
I said to you last night, there's no way this is being released nationwide.
Yeah.
Because I thought Craig T. Nelson was the biggest actor they had in it. He's not. And he's a really well-known actor. But this Brandon Sklenar is in it. And he is one of the hottest actors right now in the entertainment business. And when I saw that, I got excited. I'm a fan of this guy. He's in the show 1923, the Yellowstone spinoff with Harrison Ford and Helen Mirren. And that show... season two and the final season, as I understand it, will be back on, I think, in about a week. Really good show, though. Maybe my favorite Taylor Sheridan show. But Brandon is great, and he plays like this badass, long-lost relative that's going to come back and save the Duttons in 1923. So my curiosity continues towards Green and Gold. I want to check it out. We got to get the director on the show if we can.
I did a little story for Newsco Weekend on it. So
oh, fantastic.
If you want to find more information, check it out this weekend.
Let's get more information on that when we come back. We're going to do a very quick break, and then we're going to hear some Jim Gaffigan when we come back, and some Matthew Perry news with David Bowie. This is Peach Waba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our one-year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
David Bowie's birthday today. I love the way that song starts. I Catch the Paper Boy. So great. Modern Love by David Bowie. Passed away in 2016. You have a, I want to read some text, but you did a little tribute to David Bowie by way of the Friends cast.
Yeah.
There's weird Friends news. Matthew Perry has been in the news more since he passed away than he was leading up to his death, which is mysterious circumstances. I think they're still investigating it. But very strange. One of my favorite Friends moments is part of this montage that you found or put together when Joey used a tape to prove he was on Law and Order and he shot himself and he was recording himself in his apartment. And the tape cuts out and it's Matthew Perry singing David Bowie, like we'll see. But the one of my favorite moments ever from Friends is when they cut back to the scene and Matthew Perry's on the couch and realizes he's about to be horribly embarrassed. It just does this very subtle look up from the couch. It's so great. But let's play this clip Conrad put together in honor of David Bowie by way of the Friends cast.
Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown. Engines on.
Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown. Engines on. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on.
Stop it! No! That's not fair. You know I can't resist that beautiful voice.
Oh, blimey, I still can't believe you've got an earring.
Huh? I know. Who am I? David Bowie?
He does that.
I don't know. Whatever.
So one of the Friends writers or producers, obviously a big fan of David Bowie. They do reference him a lot on the show, and I have no problem with that. Our question of the night is, what is the best slow dance song? Like, let's say you have someone in your sights, and you just need that little extra encouragement to ask them to dance. What slow song is on that makes you go for it? And, you know, we're talking, this is high school dance territory. Whatever era you're from, you can contribute. I mean, I know if you were listening to Let's Go to the Hop in the 50s or something in the 90s or when Conrad was in high school, he only went to two dances. Two or one?
I went to my sophomore year, both dances, and I didn't go to my senior year. Junior year. I didn't go to my senior year.
So those are the big ones. Homecoming, prom. Those are great. Winterfest, whatever. But we had, like I mentioned earlier, at my high school, at Marinette Catholic Central, we had a dance every week on the weekend. And then in the summer, I think they moved to Wednesdays.
That's crazy.
It was, but it gave you something to do in a small town. I mean, I remember I didn't drink in high school, but I got walked in with a friend of mine once who was so drunk he tried to pray. He tried to pay his $2 to get into the dance with coupons from a local restaurant. Luckily, the janitor at the school was the guy taking money, and he was about 120. And he looked so confused, but like he knew something was up. It didn't work. We didn't get away with it, or my friend didn't get away with it, but he eventually got into the dance because he vomited. So those are some of the memories I have of high school dances, but you can share yours as well or your favorite slow dance song. We've got people checking in here. Paula, Conrad's mom checking in, says Faithfully by Journey. Yes, that's a great one, Paula. Very, somehow these songs become the soundtrack too of our youth. And I think that's part of what it is. There are songs now I listen to that I didn't even necessarily like when I was a kid. But now they come on and it reminds me, you know, of a younger time. It's just fun. And in Marinette, where I live now, you hear these songs still on the radio. I don't know where they get them. It's probably a Spotify 80s channel. But I'll even hear B-sides, like when I'm in the grocery store. It's crazy. Sherry from Horicon says, Stairway to Heaven. Oh, man. That's an interesting one, Sherry, because that starts slow and then kind of picks up. And then you're in that weird zone with another person where you start slow dancing, but then the beat picks up and all of a sudden it's like, do we keep slow dancing or do we sort of back away and start snapping our fingers? Those awkward moments are great, too. Great one, Sherry. I actually have a story. My sister-in-law, Anne, told a story once about slow dancing with a guy, and the song went on for like 9 minutes. Which must have been horribly, you know, awkward, I guess, nerve-wracking, whatever. But what was equally as awkward was Anne in our living room 3 years ago imitating herself slow dancing with an imaginary partner for about the same amount of time after a few glasses of wine. And it became funnier the longer she did it. That's a great one. Thank you, Sherry. Eric from Lodi says, my wife and I danced to Storybook Love at our wedding. That's the Mark Knopfler song and end credits of Princess Bride. Great song. And that the score, I want to say it was, Mark Knopfler did the score for the Princess Bride at the beginning with Buttercup and Wesley. That's just a great soundtrack. Sounds like a very romantic wedding, Eric, and a great moment there. Annie from Watertown says, usually pretty dense on appearance stuff. Junior high. What does that mean? Usually pretty dense on appearance stuff. I mean, she can't remember, maybe. She says, junior high dance, Rob came up to my chin. So next fall, meeting up at Mullins Dairy, I knew growth spurt. I think I'm piecing that story together. Thank you, Annie from Watertown. Anna in Madison says, hi, Pete and Conrad. A good song to slow dance to. Fooled Around and Fell in Love by Elvin Bishop. Okay, I'll have to find that song. I don't know that song. Thank you, Anna. Jim from Appleton says, I'm a bit older than you, but we also had dances every week in Nina. The best slow dance song ever is Knights in White Satin by the Moody Blues. Good one. Yeah, that's... I still have no idea what that song is about, Jim, but that was on all the time when I was a kid. Steve from Florida says, Endless Love. Great one. I think I'm Steve's age. Lionel Richie. And he says, a Baraboo Thunderbird favorite. Eric from Lodi says, Richard Marx's Right Here Waiting for You is at every school dance and wedding reception in the 1980s. Yep, that's another one. Did I ever tell my Richard Marx story on the show, Conrad?
I don't
all right,
think
remind
so.
Me of that. It's a great story. When I moved to L.A., Richard Marx screwed me. Not literally, but he really, oh, man, if I ever meet this guy. We swap phone messages. It's a whole story. One of these days, I'll tell the story in there. Keep those texts coming. What's the best song to slow dance to? Great text so far. All right. Tim Kavanaugh is here, ladies and gentlemen. Tim is great. One of my favorites. He's coming up next after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. Mike Siegel is here at 7:35 talking dances. Speech Wobba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air. CBS News special report. Five people have now died in the Southern California wildfires. 130,000 are under evacuation orders. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass.
I know the world is looking at images of our city's devastation. I have seen the front lines of the Palisades fire, and it is staggering.
CBS News Los Angeles' Lori Perez is in Pacific Palisades.
An absolute inferno. These are beachside homes. These are really burning fast and furiously.
Nearly 2,000 homes, businesses, and other buildings have been destroyed. This man in Pasadena lost everything.
I'm going to break down again. That's what I feel. It's my whole life.
Celebrities like Billy Crystal and Ben Affleck have also lost their homes. The home President Biden's son, Hunter, has been renting, also burned to the ground. A new fire has broken out in the Hollywood Hills, threatening the iconic Hollywood sign. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks roll over the Spurs.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 121-105 win over the Spurs last night, snapping a three-game losing streak at home for Milwaukee. Giannis with his 432nd career double-double, surpassing the franchise record set by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Damian Lillard on the Bucks' best performance since beating the Thunder for the NBA Cup.
Everything starts with, you know, our focus. And I think, you know, we've just been more focused coming off some games that we feel like we should have won. Ultimately, like, what's going to give us a chance to win games, and what are we doing when we're at our best?
College Hoops, Wisconsin hosts Minnesota, 6 o'clock tomorrow night. NFL, it's the Packers and the Eagles, Sunday at 3:30. Packers quarterbacks Jordan Love, an elbow injury. Malik Willis, his right thumb, limited in practice. I asked Love about losing Christian Watson to a torn ACL.
That's a huge loss. It's one of those ones that it sucks. You know, you hurt for Christian, especially at this time of the year.
That's Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Award show season is not only fun if you like award shows, it also can give you excellent suggestions of what you should be watching. On the heels of Sunday night's Golden Globes ceremony, the Screen Actors Guild just announced their nominations. Leading the way in the film category was Wicked with 5 nominations. Not too far behind with 4 nominations was A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan biopic. Let's do a deep dive. One of the cool things about the SAG Awards is that they recognize entire ensembles when it comes to cast. A Complete Unknown and Wicked are both nominated in the category, in addition to Conclave, Anora, and Emilia Perez. Typically, when the movie wins for ensemble cast at the SAG Awards, it more often than not results in a Best Picture win at, wait for it, the Oscars. Cast ensemble has been a category at the SAG Awards since 1995, and Variety reports that in 30 years, only 4 films have won Best Picture at the Oscars that didn't win for Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with a little light snow developing by later this afternoon. Our high right around 25. More light snow tonight. Overall, we're looking at a dusting at best. Not going to be a lot of snow. 17 our low tomorrow. Partly to mostly cloudy 24 with more light snow on the way by Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now is 10.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, will discuss the president-elect's appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, and will AG Merrick Garland release Jack Smith's J6 report unredacted? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
That's right. It's Elvis's birthday, too. You know, we could have done that as a question. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. What's your favorite Elvis song? He's got enough of a catalog, as it were. That's mine. Love Suspicious Minds. We are our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen. What is the best slow song, or what is the best song to slow dance to? That's the question we are asking tonight. Let us know. We've had some good answers so far. We will keep reading your texts throughout the night. Jim from Kenosha says Freebird. Sometimes people just say that. Like, you don't even know if people are being serious when they say Freebird, because it's just become kind of a joke. But he could be serious. It's a good song. Jim from Appleton says, that's okay. I have no idea what it is about either, but it is still a great song to slow dance to. Nice and White Satin. Yeah, it sounds like a drug song. You do drugs, Conrad? Is that a personal question?
You know, apparently the gym I do.
Okay. How much do you make a year? All right. It's my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on. There's a great comedy event happening here in Wisconsin this weekend. And my next guest will be performing at said comedy event. He's been on the show before. He's been in the studio live. He is not in Green Bay at the moment, but we are thrilled to have him over the stream. You've heard him on Bob and Tom. You've maybe seen him live or bought his albums. Tremendously funny guy and a really good dude. Tim Cavanaugh joins me now on Nightlight. Tim, how are you?
Good, Pete. How are you?
Good. Oh, that sounds beautiful.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you sound like you're in the studio.
I do sound like it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because usually I sound a lot worse than this, but this is good. You know what? I've been working at doing a lot of soundproofing in my own personal studio here in my in my house. And I think it's really paying off. And not to mention that the electric bills are way down. I think just a little insulation. Okay. And the fact that we've added a roof makes it a lot easier. Because you know what? You get a lot of ambient sound if you don't have that. I'm just checking to see. Am I supposed to be on camera or anything?
You can be, Tim. It's totally up to you.
I can't seem to find myself. There I am there, but I don't seem to see you.
We could just put a picture up of you, or like of, you know, Ruth Buzzy or something, and maybe people would just like looking at the picture and hearing your voice.
You know what? Works. Ruth Buzzy is a Facebook friend of mine.
Oh, come on.
And so no, she
That's
is.
So great.
She's still alive, I mean, we don't talk a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't think that's important really at this point in our careers. I mean, she's still got good stuff going on, and I do too, because I've got this big comedy event in the area.
Yeah.
I believe is how you set that up.
Listen, we're going to get to that, Tim, because it's a ballroom.
Come on.
And it's a big deal. But first, I have a question for you from someone you've met in the past. Mike Desitel checks in on the stream and says, question for Tim, how bad was COVID for comedy performers, and has it come back fully? Also, why aren't you on Cameo? Those are two very personal questions.
Well, those are a lot of questions.
Yeah.
number one, COVID was the best thing that could have happened to stand-up comedy. I'm joking.
I thought you meant for the jokes. I don't know, Tim. You're a very dry guy.
COVID was very bad.
It's brutal.
Those to live entertainment, you know, who actually speak in front of live audiences, because live audiences couldn't gather. So it was bad. And then we would do this comedy. Sometimes we would do comedy online where there is no audience and you just talk. And it's you can't tell what's funny and what isn't. Which is sometimes comforting, and sometimes it is not.
It's better not to know sometimes.
It's very confusing. But now that people are back and gathering as audiences, I think the audiences are better than ever, because I think that they appreciate the fact that it's all back. It's back and working, and people are together as an audience and enjoying things together, and I think it's fantastic.
It's okay to sneeze on people again. It's
absolutely
not, it was a time and, where you just didn't do that. Now it's okay.
And in fact, at my show, I highly recommend it. And
Kavanaugh, yeah, he's the sneeze guy. We love him.
Yeah. You know, you've heard of The Sound of Music. I like The Sound of Mucus. That is my remake of that. We should probably put a sneeze guard up around the stage.
It can't hurt, Tim. I mean, you have a buffet at every one of your shows. Why not put a sneeze guard up too? I think the All You Can Eat is a great addition, by the way.
That's a great way of looking at my act as a buffet, because it's not everything for everybody, but there's something for everybody. So you just go from joke and bit and song and whatever. I don't think that looks awful.
Let's leave this one on the plate.
I had this once before, and it was really not his specialty. But then you'll find some other things, more in the, I would say probably, not the spicy section.
Right.
Because my show isn't all that spicy, although it is, incisive. And so, but I don't know what food that compares to.
But every comic.
Like Wee-back.
Yeah, you have jokes maybe that could be compared to like the cocktail weenie jello area of the buffet. And then you have your gourmet crowd stoppers, right?
Right.
Sure.
Right. And for those who have a more sophisticated palate, comedy-wise, I have one joke for those people. And then I have a lot of jello mold and little weenie jokes for everybody else.
I have to tell this story. I love this.
And I don't even mean to say a little weenie like that.
Because
that sounds pejorative, and I don't mean it.
None of my listeners have that problem, Tim. They're all seriously packing. I don't know how we did it, but our listeners just are blessed. So nobody got offended. No, nothing to worry about.
That's right. That's fantastic.
Am I speaking out of line, Conrad? I mean, we have...
I don't know.
He's so scared right now. He's like, I shouldn't say anything. Tim, last year... I should go back.
Yes.
Actually, right when I moved back to the Midwest, I brought you to Marinette, the town I live in now, to play a football fundraiser, which you crushed. And then I think the next night you and I went to my old high school, which I just talked about previously on the show, because we were talking about high school dances. And we did a fundraiser there as well together. Now.
Yes, we did.
Last year.
It was way fun.
It was fun. However, only one of us got invited back, and it was not the guy who went to high school there, me. You were booked back there last year. I mean, it took 11 years, but you did eventually get back in.
Yes, I did.
And they
they
went around behind my back to book you. Should I be upset about that?
Well, you've got some problems up there. number one, the school that you went to, it's a Catholic school. It's a fine school.
Yeah.
Very, very nice people. But you apparently, I don't know how many of this seven deadly sins you've committed up in the Marinette area, but over four is what I was told, with sloth and gluttony, number one and number two.
I was starving, and there were only communion wafers available. They had not been blessed, so I wouldn't call that a commandment or anything.
I wouldn't either. Okay. No, you know what? I don't understand, Pete, why that happened, because everyone loves you up there. I think that there was maybe a term limit thing going on. I mean, how many did you do all 4 years?
No, I did. At the school. Yeah, of course.
At the school. Well, see, okay. So you spent enough time at the school where I think that they just said, well, you know, he's done 4 years plus these benefit shows. And it's like, maybe it's time for a new crop to come in.
Maybe.
So let's get somebody younger, funnier, and they couldn't find that, so they got me, who's older and not as funny. It worked out well, but it was a wonderful fundraiser.
Yeah, they loved
it. But we missed you. And okay, all right, so you're complaining about that. You know what was happening across town the night that I did the fundraiser for your high school?
Yeah, and let's talk about that. But I also want to say I donated my salary that night to the school. And I was not in, you know, the book they send out where people donate. So I think somebody embezzled my money and probably spent the whole $20 somewhere. But anyway, I don't want to get off on that again.
I would say you have to talk to the bishop about that. That is not some.
It's on my list. I've got a full list.
I saw Conclave. I did too. And so I'm not messing with these people.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
You know, I mean, if you got a money problem with them, you deal with that yourself.
My guest is Tim Cavanaugh. He is a tremendously funny comedian who is playing here in Wisconsin. Again, we will get to that in a moment, but you were about to tell a story about you being back in Marinette last year, and I cut you off so rudely. I'm sorry, Tim. Continue.
No. It was the same sort of thing. I was there back, and Pete is very upset that they asked me to come back 11 years later to do a fundraiser for his high school. And I get up there and I find out, oh, you know what? The crowd might not be that good because there's another fundraiser, comedy fundraiser, right across town. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, really? That's a weird coincidence. And who is it? Well, it's Pete Schwamba. And Tom Clark and his lovely wife, Stephanie.
Yeah.
And they're very, very nice people. And we all got together after the show to have really just to kind of duke it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And I thought I was holding my own until your son, Joe, who knows a little bit more about jujitsu than I realized, pretty much settled the score for me.
That was a really fun night. You, as I remember it, we all got together. You and Tom, I didn't know Tom that well. And, you know, I book a football fundraiser for youth football there every year. They asked me to do it when I first moved back there. I said, sure, it's been going strong for like, I don't know, 12 years now. And Tom did it last year. Well, what I thought was so funny is when we were hanging out after the show, Tom saw your post on Facebook. Now, Marinette is 10,000 people. And the area is probably 25 with Menominee across the river and Peshtigo, whatever. But Tom saw that you were performing on your website in Marinette on the same date. He said, was I bumped? I don't know this Pete Schwamba that well. Maybe he bumped me. But it can't be possible
that there would be two comedy fundraisers on the same night in Marinette.
And this year,
I felt the same thing.
He's coming back to do a different gig on the 25th. This year, and he'll be on the show, and then we're doing the football thing again with some new guys. So it is fun when I have comics filtering through Marinette. I get to see them. You're a great friend, and Tom I got to know, and Steph last year, and my son Joe got to hang out with all of us. It was a really fun night, and I'm thrilled that you'll be back in Wisconsin soon.
Yeah, you know, it was a fun night, and I hope it makes you feel a little bit better that I am not coming back to the area. I was not asked back to do the benefit this year. So you go ahead and have fun with your little comedy friends over at the other football fundraiser.
Which you football, also did and crushed. Yeah.
Which I also, I loved ago. It.
It was fun.
I loved it. I have CTE because of it. But,
well, you should have worn a helmet, Tim. I mean, you know.
I know. Okay. I know.
You have a date coming up. Here in Wisconsin, though, let's talk about that. Port Washington, you're there this weekend at Memories Ballroom. Are you excited about that?
I am very excited about it because I've worked at Memories Ballroom 3 or 4 times
now. Oh, really?
And it's, and you know, which is good because a lot of people think Memories is like a place for people who are maybe suffering from Alzheimer's or something like that. Because of the name Memories, but it's not that at all. It's actually a very, very lovely restaurant, banquet room, theater. It's all kinds of things. It's really, really a lot of fun. And one of the best run comedy shows, I think in the country.
I've heard
because
that.
Because the guy, Roland, who runs it, really knows what he's doing. He knows show business. He knows food. He knows everything. And so he books in really, really good comics, and he's got great roasted chicken.
Oh, my gosh.
That they're famous for.
Hey, Tim, let's come back. Let's pick it up with the roasted chicken when we come back after a very short break. All right. Tim Cavanaugh's here. We're talking Memories Ballroom on Nightlight. We'll be right back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Legislation unveiled Monday by the New Hampshire Senate would change the state's four presidential electoral votes from winner-take-all to proportional, based on which party wins its two congressional districts. Gerrymander the districts, and you guarantee more votes for your presidential candidate. Senate Bill 11 would have New Hampshire join Maine and Nebraska as the only states which have proportional electoral votes, and would apportion them based on which party wins Congressional District 1 or 2. In November, the state's congressional seats went to Democrats, Representative Chris Pappas and newcomer Maggie Goodlander, yet the state House, Senate, governorship, and governor's executive council all went red, in large part to gerrymandered voting districts. Gerrymandered, except the districts for Congress. A 2022 proposal by the New Hampshire House Election Law Committee radically gerrymandered the districts, guaranteeing the District 1 congressional seat for Republicans. So radical, in fact, that Republican governor and possible presidential candidate Chris Sununu surprised his own party by vetoing the map and proposing his own competitive map similar to that of previous decades. New Hampshire's incoming governor, former U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, may not have such competitive compulsions. With a Republican House and Senate behind her, a gerrymandered congressional district could be a twofer for Republicans, both in New Hampshire and in the presidential race. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the ear.
Right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're back. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite song to slow dance to? What is the best song to slow dance to? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. A little high school dance talk led off the show and got us to this question. So we will read your text on the radio. Let us know what you think. Always more fun when you guys participate. Right now, my guest is the tremendously funny Tim Cavanaugh, who will be performing at Memories Ballroom in Port Washington this weekend. And as excited as the crowd will probably be to see Tim, Tim's just as excited about the broasted chicken, it sounds like.
Oh, man, the broasted chicken is great. And the crowd is really, really excellent because these are people who have been trained and know their way around comedy.
Yeah.
Because it's been going for years and years, this comedy program. And people come out and they just... they are sitting in the right direction. They're facing the stage. They sneeze on each other, just like we used to do back in the old days. It's good. It's really an ideal situation, and I love going back there. And so it's Saturday night, and I think we have a show at 8 o'clock, and there's also a dinner package that you can do starting at 6:30, I believe. And it's really fun. I'm going to be working with a guy named Anthony Bonazzo, who I know nothing about, but it is a great name. And if you have money problems with the Bonazzo family, I would say take it up with the bishop.
I got a long
because I don't know. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of shady people.
Tim, when you play ballrooms, first of all, that I love the term ballroom. Wisconsin has all these great old dance halls and ballrooms.
Yeah.
But do you ever have an urge to break out into a waltz or band lead or anything like that?
Well, I don't know if there's any way I can make any of this funny, but my wife and I took ballroom dancing.
Oh, nice.
For 7 years. So actually, I'm not uncomfortable being in a ballroom. And if someone were to come up to me after the show, perhaps, and said, Tim, would you be interested in a dance? I would tell him, certainly. Or her. Or them. that yes,
little
absolutely.
Little freeway dancing, is that what
whatever
you're
you want?
At?
Whatever you want, whatever you want to do. Okay. I will tell you that the tango that I do, it gets a little bit physical, and actually, I have a paternity suit against myself
just from the tango. Wow.
Yeah, from doing the tango. Yeah,
those are some serious lessons.
Those are lessons, but it's a ballroom, but it is not set up as a ballroom that night.
Okay.
Because I've been, you know, you've done enough stand-up comedy to know that sometimes you get to a venue and it's like, oh, by the way, you're in the ballroom, and the people sitting nearest to you are about 140 feet away from you. So good luck with that.
You picture ballroom, or at least what I do. I picture like bad suits and comb overs, but I'm going back like to the 40s, and I don't know where that vision is coming from because I was not even close to planet Earth on the 40s. But that's the image that I get conjured up in my head when I think of ballrooms, even though I love the term.
Well, back in the day, it was the big thing when you talk to your grandparents or not even my parents so much, but my grandparents and people of that generation, and we're talking my grandparents, that's 100 years ago. That's where they met their spouses. That's where they met people of the opposite sex. And it was kind of like, that was the club. You know, I mean, we would call them, you know, nightclubs or raves or whatever. And back then you had the big bands, which again was really different than the big bands we have now.
Right.
It was a very genteel, it seemed genteel, and yet there were still the same hormones that were flowing even back then. And so, hence the tango.
A slow dance leading to a paternity suit. That's serious business. I did not anticipate that being part of the conversation tonight. So I hope you got that worked out. My guest is Tim Cavanaugh.
Again, the bishop is involved in helping me to negotiate my way out of this.
Tim, you're so fun. Your songs are so great. Your song parodies. You're also just a great stand-up, with or without the guitar. What do you prefer? Like, if you had to choose, if someone said, Tim, you can go on stage, you either have to do stand-up or the guitar or the song parodies, what would you choose?
At this point in my career, I would choose stand-up.
Okay.
Just because I've gotten pretty good at it over the years, and it's a little bit quicker way to get to the jokes than the songs. But to defend my songs, there are things that I can do in song that I cannot do in stand-up.
Wow.
That there are certain structures of the songs that lend themselves to comedic things that you can't just, you know, have them happen in stand-up. It just doesn't happen. So it's two different animals. But right now I have so much fun with the stand-up and also talking to the audience, interacting, and throwing some songs. It's a night.
It absolutely is. And we got a text from Jim here from Appleton. He says, Tim says little weenies. And right away, I picture a crock pot full of mini hot dogs and barbecue sauce. Tim, we have to do a quick break for the news. Can you hang for a few minutes? I want to play one of your songs when we come back. All right. We'll hear one of Tim's awesome song parodies when we come back after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
.5 The Tap. Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. We'll talk about starting the new year off right with Omar the Pharmacist, and then we will talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion with attorney Roy Evans.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings, 8 till 10. The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates.
You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. The flames of a massive wildfire swallowing a home in Pasadena, California. It is one of five large fires burning in and around the Los Angeles area now. Five deaths are reported, and almost 2,000 homes, businesses, and other structures have been destroyed. That number is expected to rise. This man in Altadena lost everything.
Probably still hasn't hit me that this happened, because I thought this would never happen.
Los Angeles City Fire Chief Kristen Crowley.
We will continue to focus, and we'll make very, very clear, saving lives first, evacuations, and rescues. We are not out of danger.
New evacuations are underway near LA's iconic Hollywood sign. CBS's Wendy Gillette in West Hollywood.
Emergency crews raced down Sunset Boulevard as a fire raged above in the Hollywood Hills, disrupting a business.